Well, we thank the Lord for our families. It's a wonderful thing. And I don't know how many of you feel like you've been the perfect parent. I have my doubts, too many. But I just want to say when we start here that we don't profess to be the perfect parent either, okay? So there's a lot of mistakes that I've made. I'll speak for myself. And learned from those things. And I've learned a lot from other people. But I want to share the things that we have learned and the things that I know works and the things that I know are biblical. And so this afternoon, I believe that God has answers for us. I don't believe He created this thing called a home, children and parents and all living together, and then just didn't really give us the guidelines. I think He really did. I think He made it. He really made a path that really can work if we will let it work. It's really made to work. And so we want to look at a few of the scriptures this afternoon. Brother Dan and I are going to share this, but I was thinking I want to make also a little note that we're addressing a typical home. I know that there's homes, single-parent homes. These things apply there too, but there are special situations that would require some adjustments, and we know that. So we just want to work from that perspective. Psalms 127 and verse 3. I love this scripture. I've read it many, many times. But it says here, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward." You know, children really are not a pest, and why are they here? They're a heritage of something that's passed down. It's something one generation gives to another. And the Lord says, children are heritage of the Lord, something the Lord has given us. And I testify that children can be the greatest blessing in our life in this temporal life. And so we want to understand the ways of the Lord. I believe they work and work well. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. And so we know that arrows are something that a mighty man uses. He sends them out where he isn't. He is able to profit by his arrows and be blessed by that as part of his sustenance. And so there's a lot of places we wish we could go, but we look upon our children and say they can go a lot of places I never went. There are arrows. We send them out. And the scripture says, happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. Now, I believe the Lord, I believe that's the way the Lord wants it to be. I want to look at Psalms 144 and 11. We're going to try to cover a lot of information and a little bit quickly, but hopefully if we can just glean one thing that'll make a difference with our children, maybe it'll be worth your time. I know we probably, a lot of us know a lot of the things that we're going to hear today, but we want all the things that we can get a hold of. I do. In 144 and 11, it says, "Rid me and deliver me from the hand of strange children, whose mouth speaketh vanity, and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood, that our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, that our daughters may be as cornerstones polished after the similitude of a palace." I can't help but believe the writer, David, here it sounds pretty good to me. That our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth. lot of you know, I've been trying to be a little bit of a gardener the last few years. And I will tell you, it's really awesome when you see the ground break and the plants start coming up and you see the fruit on it and you're waiting and waiting and you see that tomato developing or whatever it is. That's a beautiful thing. And it's a thing you wait for in anticipation of. And so David said that that's the way our sons, that he wanted that for our sons. And he said here, rid me and deliver me from the hand of strange children and the things that would hinder that, that our sons might be like that, that they might be that beautiful picture. And that our daughters may be as cornerstones polished after the similitude of a palace. I believe that's a beautiful picture too, isn't it? That our daughters would be women of grace. Grow up to be, if you go to Washington, D.C. and those places, those big cornerstones, they're beautiful, aren't they? I believe the Lord wants our daughters to be beautiful. To be also something that can bear weight and bear responsibilities and things like that. It takes a lot of training, and God has given us several years to do it in. And so if we really work at it and put some effort into it, I believe we have something to look forward to as we do that. In Proverbs 22, we're just kind of laying a foundation here, but in Proverbs 22 and 6, it says, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. There's a lot of conversation, a lot of things said about this scripture. But it's what the Bible says. Do we believe that every child is always going to choose to be saved? I can't say that. Because they have their own will. And they have their heart. But I believe that the scripture tells us that if we'll put the proper stuff in them, it'll make a big difference. And it says, in fact, when he is old, he won't depart from it. So we want to remember that. So how do we train up a child in the way he should go? I never had children before I had children. I was as ignorant. Maybe I thought I knew more then than I did 10 years later. But I found out pretty shortly that there was a lot of things that I needed to know and that I still need to know. But train up a child. So we want to put effort into that. We want to put, we wouldn't try to train someone without any training ourselves to do something. We learn how to do something, then we train somebody else, don't we? And so there's some effort here. In Genesis 18 and 18 and 19, it's speaking of Abraham in the 18th verse. But the 19th verse says, for I know him. This is God speaking. He said, I know him that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. You know, I think about, for God to say that, he had confidence in Abraham. He had confidence in the integrity of his life. For him to be able to say, I know Abraham. He's going to do with all that he knows. He's going to do a good job because that's the kind of integrity Abraham has. And I believe that if we will live a godly and a responsible life ourselves. And I know we know this. This is something all of us know. But folks, if we want our children to be trained to give it all to God, it's not going to happen probably if we don't. Most of the time, it's not going to happen. And so if we want them to pick up the things that we see, we're going to have to live that way. And that's what God saw in Abraham. He said, I know Abraham. He's going to command his children after him. They're going to have enough respect and be trained so that they follow. And you watch Jacob, you watch Isaac and Jacob, and you see the strength of that training following through. And so we want to, we want that in our lives, don't we? I know we all do. The first thing we want to really talk about as far as issues is to have a fertile atmosphere or ground or situation for good things to happen. One thing that I have learned in gardening is if the soil isn't right, it is impossible for the fruit to be right. In gardening, that's a fact. You're not going to have what you're looking for if the soil isn't right. And so when we start wanting to train our children, I believe Jesus told us a parable about soil. And he said there was such a thing as good soil of our heart, didn't he? And he said it brought forth, and some 30 and some 60 and some 100-fold. And you know, I believe our homes can be like that too. I believe they can be fertile soil for good things to spring forth. And, you know, on the negative side, I'll just say this so that we kind of pick up on the idea, because we have such a limited time here that that we can only scan over things, and if we want more, we have to dig for it. But the pH of a soil is very important. If it's out of kilter in a soil, certain things won't grow in that soil. If in our home there is a negative, caustic atmosphere, good things aren't going to grow there normally. It's not going to produce things that we want it to produce unless we have in the soil of our home an atmosphere of love for the Lord, an atmosphere of respect for one another, a soil that that is conducive to growth and to a love for the things of the Lord. I just want to mention this. We're going to mention this later probably. But if we all want our children to follow the ways of the Lord, don't we? And we long for them to pick up the same beliefs that we have, and to know the truth and to live that way and give themselves to the Lord. But you know, if in our home they find anger, they find that we have hurt feelings toward other people around us in the church, or it's so easy because, you know, in a home it's easy for things to get between parents, isn't it? Anytime you get people close together, you have a fertile ground for problems. But what the Lord wants us to do is have a fertile ground there. Deal with those things in ourselves. Give forgiveness when it's needed. Get forgiveness when it's needed. And live in such a way that we live in a very positive atmosphere where good things are happening, where the children love to see the people of God. They love to associate with them. Their chief joy is to come and be with them. That is a very positive pH, if you want to call it that, in our soil. And Brother Dan brought up this scripture here in Philippians 4 and 8 and 9 as a soil test. You know, when you're growing things, gardeners that garden on a big, that do it more than just messing around a little bit, they test their soil. I believe they probably about all do. They test their soil to find out what it's missing. They find out what's there. Let's do a little test this morning. It says here in Philippians 4 and 8, it says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things." I want to ask you this morning, not in a criticizing way, but we're trying to find answers, aren't we? I want to ask you this morning, how are we doing on these things? What are we thinking of? What's the atmosphere of our home? When it says whatsoever things are pure, I believe we could say holiness would be included in that, wouldn't you? Whatsoever things are godly, holy, is that our home? We're doing a little soil test here. Do we have things that really, if the Lord was there, we really wouldn't want it to be out there? Do we have that? Let's just test ourselves here a little bit. What about things that are lovely or enjoyable, or they're good, they're wholesome? Is our home made up with those kind of things, or is it full of crankiness and bitternesses and unlovely things and unlovely words and all those things? You know, I think these things matter, don't they? Because that's where our children are growing up. That's the soil they've been planted into. And so when we look at these things, we think, oh yeah, the Lord wants me to be more that way. Folks, it matters a lot. This matters a lot. And so when we begin to look at our home, let's just remember, this is what I'm producing out of this right here. This is likely whatever they've got here. It's maybe not going to be quite as good a lot of times. And so, unless they really get a hold of the Lord, and He changes them a lot. But, you know, are things honest? Are they really honest? Do we deal with people honestly? You know, most of us here do. But, you know, what I've found is that if we really don't deal quite honestly all the time, our children will pick that up and be that way too. And it'll be real hard for them to really be able to bloom. And see, we need the blessing of the Lord on our lives. And He isn't going to bless them if they're not really honest. He isn't going to. And so, how are we doing on that? How about just? How about things that are true? Are we really working with things that are true, or do we live in a false world, a false bubble? The world lives in that kind of a place. They have idols that are false images everywhere. It's not true at all. It's not a good example of a family. It's not a good example of a woman or of a man, and yet it's everywhere. And if we bring those things in and allow our children to begin to be influenced by those things, I will tell you, it will matter. And if there be any virtue or manliness, strength or valor, I think Brother Dan's going to touch on that some, then he said, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. Now, Paul's dealing with people he's wanting the Lord to be birthed in. He's wanting the Lord to work through. And he said, what you've seen in me, those things that you've seen, not what he said, those things that you observed and seen and heard, you do those things. And he said, and the God of peace shall be with you. And so, you know, as we go through life, if we just examine our home, is our home an example that if we was looking on, that we would feel like this is a good example? I know we live in this world. We have issues. We have problems. We rub each other wrong. We come home tired and we're working hard and all those things. But you know what? Our children are observing how we're acting and what we're doing and all those things. And we're wanting them to come out to be something that sometimes we're not. And that doesn't happen generally. So I've moved through this kind of fast, and I'm going to go on with just a few other things and then let Brother Dan have some time. But one thing that because we are in such a limited time, we're going to have to go from here and find some answers and study and look for those things and ask. There's a scripture in Proverbs 15 and 22 that says, without counsel, purposes are disappointed. But in the multitude of counselors, they are established. You know, folks, I don't know what you think of that scripture. That's not the only one in the Bible. But I believe it. I believe it's extremely important. And to me, if there's only one thing, in my opinion, if there's only one thing that you get today, I would say this. Get this. I'll read one more and then explain a little more. Proverbs 1 and 5 says, a wise man will hear and will increase learning. Man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. You know, I never had children before I had children. And I was clueless. Even though I thought I knew a lot of things, I was clueless in a lot of ways. I made too many mistakes. But I'll tell you what, one thing that really helped us is that we spent many, and I say many, many hours asking questions of those that I felt like was successful in their homes, had children that followed the Lord, that wanted to do the right thing. Folks, there are some secrets that they can share with us that we will not get on our own until we're too late sometimes. Most of us, anyway. And so there's a lot of things that there's times that you come up through life with your children, and it's just not like you thought it was. You can't find the switch that you thought was there, that you thought you could just turn it this way and they would do that. And so there's a lot of complicated things with raising children. We know it's a gargantuan task. But you know, this morning or this afternoon, if we will ask others that have been successful and seek counsel, it will help us so, so, so many times. When we come to the teenage years, sometimes especially with the first one, we've never been there before. And it's shocking, the things that all of a sudden, you know, I didn't know it was going to be, you know, I didn't know I was ever going to face this, you know, what am I supposed to do? You know what, there's been people that's already faced it before. And they can help us to know what not to do and what to do. And, you know, my mother-in-law gave me a lot of good advice. And one of the things she gave me was that, you know, my first one was very aggressive, very out there. You all know Matthew. he was very high energy. I don't know if he's here today. But he does come and ask counsel. I'm not boasting in that, but I just want you to know we have a good relationship. But, you know, there was just so many things. I wasn't made like that. I liked to read books a lot. I mean, I wasn't a very active child, but I liked to read, and he hated to read. And you know, his hands wanted to be busy all the time. He had energy that I have no idea where it all came from. But you know what? My mother-in-law gave me some very wise counsel. And she said, don't try to stop that. Channel it. Get it going in the right direction. And you know what? Ooh, that made sense. And I profited from what some wise lady told me that had raised a bunch before I had. And so I want to encourage us today. If we have the idea that we don't want counsel or don't need counsel, we are making one of the most grave mistakes that we will ever make in all of our child training. And so if there is anything that I could say today, it would be this. Choose a few out. You don't have to take every word they say, but you can hear it. And some lights might pop on in here that will help us. And so, you know, some things that I learned, and I just want to pass this one thing on before we quit here. You know, he had so much energy that I kept thinking, channel it, channel it. I can't tell him to sit in the house. He's not going to sit in the house. And I don't want him getting in trouble, because he'll get in a lot of trouble if he does. So you know what? We had animals. And you know, not everybody can have animals, but you can do some things. We've got to figure it out. We've got to ask God for answers. And so so we got animals. We got all kinds of animals. I've had so many different kinds of animals, because he'd come dragging them home sometimes. We had an emu, and or several emus, and some wild stories with them. And we've had a potbelly pig he came home with one day. And so many different kinds of things. But you know what I found? Channel that energy into positive ways. And he learned to use his hands a lot better than I know how to. He does things that I don't know how to do. He learned a lot of things. He's got that drive and energy that I appreciate. I use it a lot now. I need it a lot. But you know, I was running out of things to do. We fenced. We cross fenced. We built a barn down in the pasture. He wanted water down there then. I was like, well, okay, we'll put water down there. So dig the hole. It would have been a lot easier for me to go get a machine. But you know what? There's secrets like that that some old wise person pass on to us that'll open something up in our mind. When they're little and we don't know what to do and we're losing the battle, folks, there's answers. There's answers. God has given answers, and there's people that raised a bunch of them that can give us those answers most of the time. And so I could go on and on about that, because I feel so deeply about it. But Lord, help us today. If we don't get anything else, start the search. Start finding out what I need to do. Amen.